This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Halfway home on a fun Wednesday morning. We just heard from Woods pre-5 a.m. in Hawaii on the first full day of his vacation. He could not stop himself from calling in to talk about last night's game and the trade deadline. And speaking of the trade deadline, we've got on the line, our next guest is someone who earlier in the morning you heard former MLB executive Jim Bowden say if he's not the executive of the year, then the system is broken
right.
In Major League Baseball. I know he doesn't care about that sort of thing, but we've got A.J. Preller, Padres general manager and president of baseball operations, with us post-trade deadline. A.J., good morning. Congratulations on that win last night. How you feeling?
Good. Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Did you get any sleep? Now, I don't know if you saw, but the cameras caught you last night in your box. Big yawn. Which I mean, how much sleep do you get like on the night before the trade deadline when you got GMs on the East Coast and the West Coast and, you know, they may be calling? What is that night like for you?
You know, obviously, it's really like it's a few weeks now, you know, because you have the draft, so which is, you know, like the draft right next up to the trade deadline. So the last, you know, really month almost, it's a ton of fun. And it's baseball. We're just talking about baseball all day long, every day. And, you know, but the last week obviously intensifies, and we took our baseball ops staff. They went on the road, so we were there in D.C. and Baltimore, and then came back home. And then obviously, you know, the last 48 hours, there's, especially this year, every deadline's a little bit different in terms of the information back and forth. But there are a ton of calls back and forth, and you know, a lot of things flying. But it was a lot of fun, honestly, the last couple of weeks.
So, like, how did the trade with the Marlins, you know, Peter Bendix, how does that work? Like, how long were you talking about that? How quickly did it come together? Because you've got a obviously a deadline. You know, at 3 o'clock yesterday, you got to get it all submitted to Major League Baseball and finalized. So, tell me a little just about how that process works.
Yeah, I mean, I think specifically the Tanner Scott deal, you know, obviously you've got, you know, we're canvassing, kind of getting a good sense of what's out there and you know, different possibilities. And, you know, each day you get a little bit more information. Some teams play it pretty close to the vest. Some teams are pretty open, you know, in terms of what they may be willing to give up or what they're looking to do. So as you keep getting more and more into what the realistic things are, you know, and then in our room, it's just constantly ranking and re-ranking and talking about different possibilities. In terms of with Peter and the Marlins, like he's I think they were clear they're looking to build their program and add a lot of players to their system. You know, I think they were aggressive, obviously, you know, earlier in the season, and then, you know, here at the deadline, and they're willing to make trades, and they're a very straightforward group that tells you, here are guys we like, here's kind of like the parameters of different deals, and that makes it easy to work with. In terms of like whether you just make decisions whether you want to do something or not, or it fits. And, you know, we kind of got a sense 3 or 4 days ago that we were going to be one of the teams on that short list for, you know, for Tanner Scott and some of their other players they were moving on. And then, you know, yesterday it just kept progressing a little bit more and more. And ultimately, honestly, probably about 30 seconds, we made the deal. And then I think one of the media writers, I think Jeff Passmore, somebody broke it. But it was pretty clean process. Took a few weeks. But, you know, in the last few days, we started lining up more and more on the players.
AJ, I heard what you said yesterday before the game about, you know, how the playoffs work and with the days off and how important it is to have a lockdown bullpen. I think of kind of what the Phillies kind of had going the last couple of years in the playoffs with all the guys they can throw at you. Tell us kind of about the thinking behind how the playoffs now works with so many rounds, but not, you know, seven games in 7 days, why the bullpen is so critical.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, any championship team, you gotta have a lockdown bullpen. So, I mean, I think that's always the case with most teams that go into October. These are going to be close games. You saw it last night. You know, teams that can kind of, you know, hold other teams down. It gave us a chance to get back into that game, and then late in the game, you know, if you can shut down other teams' best players, I mean, it's a huge part of it. And then, you know, with the current playoff system, you know, you're seeing. It's just, you know, you get the extra round of playoffs, less off days. You've got to go to an extra starter. We saw that in the playoffs, you know, a few years ago, where you've got to go to your fourth and fifth guys more than in the past. And, you know, a lot of times with that extra round and just the amount of games, you know, a lot of teams are choosing to kind of go to their pens earlier and more often. So just having that depth, I think, you know, you look a few years ago, you know, a lot of different ways to win, but it was kind of like if you could get three starters and, you know, probably about three pen guys that you could ride throughout the playoffs, you know, teams had some success doing that. Now, you know, you got to have a lot more depth, and, you know, we just wanted to have as many weapons as possible and guys that could, you know, that could impact us against the really good lineups. We saw that in 22 when we beat the Mets and the Dodgers. Suarez, Hader, Garcia, Martinez, that whole crew was a huge part of it, and hopefully we have another group that can that Mike and Ruben can use, and those guys can get some huge outs for us, and, you know, the next couple of months, and what's going to be a heck of a pennant race.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you got to get there first, you know, to be well set up for the postseason. And I know a lot of people just asking about, you know, what's going to happen now at the back end of the rotation. Obviously, you're hoping to get some guys back and healthy, but hope's not necessarily a plan. You did pick up Martin Perez. Tell me a little bit about Perez. Why him and not maybe some of the other options? Is there something you saw there that you think that he can be a useful piece for you the rest of the season?
Yeah, I think, you know, as we looked at it in different comments, we checked in on all the starters that were out there and had interest to different degrees in a lot of the starting options that were there. You know, and ultimately just, you know, we felt like the ability to go get Tanner Scott, Jason Adam, but then add, honestly, like a, you know, piece of that Marlin deal in terms of giving up the players we gave up was getting Brian Hoeing back, who, you know, we think has the ability to fill different roles in our pen, and then Martin, you know, I think, you know, he's left-handed, he's been an all-star pitcher, you know, in his career, got experience, he's kind of been through this, been on a world championship team, you know, he still has four pitches, and we feel like he's a guy that Ruben and the pitching group can help out with some different things that we're gonna talk to him as well about. But, you know, he's kind of been through it before, and he's got real stuff. And again, I think for us, you know, as we looked at it, you know, with a deep pen, you know, starters that have some experience, some moxie, left-handed, which is a nice complement to our right-handed group, and you know, can give us some innings. And then we know that, you know, whether it's a Joe Musgrove or you know, looking at guys in AAA, Johnny Brito, Randy Vasquez's development, we've got some depth there in that area, and we're gonna obviously need it here in the next couple of months.
Talking to Padres general manager AJ Preller, and AJ, we talked to you enough to know you're about as open-minded as it comes in ways to improve your roster. So, did you go into this deadline with the idea we weren't going to trade Ethan Salas or Leodalis DeVries? Or were you even open-minded about that? I know you listened. You said you always want to see what other teams are saying and asking who they're asking about. But was that like the plan? Like, you know, unless something shocking happens, we want to keep those two guys.
Yeah, I mean, they're two super exciting, you know, young players. So it's, you know, you've got like a two premium positions, you know, catcher and shortstop, left-handed bat and a switch hit bat. So again, think highly of a lot of guys in our system. I think I said this again yesterday. We know we're going to, you know, we kind of look at it, you're going to make trades and you're going to trade players if you or know what you're doing from an evaluation standpoint. Our scouts do a great job. You're going to trade guys that are going to, you know, get to the big leagues and potentially impact, and hopefully you're making deals that help your current team and your future teams, and you're getting talent back as well. With those two players, obviously you got to make evaluations of where they stack up. You know, we'll listen on anybody. I think you owe it to the team, the organization, just to listen. But we think as highly as of Leo and Ethan as any guys we've had in the system here. We've had some great ones in the last 10 years. You know, and it's cool too. You get into the process, and internally you have your own, you know, opinions of those players. But when you kind of get into the trade deadline, you get a sense of what the industry thinks, and I think they kind of share that opinion. So for us, we think they're huge parts of our future, and you know, obviously really happy to see what their development's going to look like here in the next few years and coming up to Petco and being part of our core.
You know, AJ, we were talking earlier about your ability to restock the farm system seemingly year after year, especially when you have big trades like you had in 22 and trades like you had this trade deadline. There's a portion of the fan base, though, that looks at those trades yesterday and they go, AJ sold the farm. He sold the farm for some bullpen pieces. I was just curious, how do you respond to that, the idea of quote-unquote selling the farm? Because you've got that ability of restocking the farm every year. Is that just a total confidence in yourself?
No, I mean, I think the depth of the system at least gives us options. You know, there's been years where we've made trades. There's been times where we haven't made deals at the deadline. So I think we have a great scouting group. You know, Chris Kemp on the amateur side, Pete DeYoung on the pro side, you know, and on the international side, our group does a great job. So that gives us the ability to at least have these conversations. You know, it's not, we definitely aren't flipping. Like, we understand, like, it's really hard to get, you know, really good young players. And if you can't just like flip, you know, snap your fingers and go get two or three more. There's a huge process. It takes a lot of time. But we've got a group that's, you know, they work really hard and they're good at it. So that at least enables us to have these conversations. We've kind of been through this the last few years where I think after some of the moves in 20 or 22, it was kind of like, all right, well, you know, now they've sold the farm, quote unquote. And then a few months later, there are some other guys. And I think this year, you know, the same thing. We felt like internally we have a lot of pitching depth, and some of which has been identified by the industry, some of which internal. You know, I think for us, like, you know, we feel like that was an area of strength, and that was an area we could at least listen to in these deals. And you've got to be willing to give something to get something. You know, no teams call up and, you know, we'll take your 70th ranked player for something of real value, you know. So I think our scouts do a great job. Our development staff does a good job. And, you know, that gives us those options to make some decisions. And, you know, I think this case, this year with the deadline, we felt like we traded some really good, especially the pitching prospects that you mentioned. But we've got some guys that we feel like internally in the system that we've identified that we think are going to be really good for us as well.
I heard you say that yesterday, and I know you don't ever want to tip your hand or play favorites, but I'm curious about a couple of those guys who may not have hit the rankings yet or having good seasons that you've got your eye on. Can you share anything about, you know, some of the guys that you're excited about with the arms in your system?
Yeah, I mean, it was that we had, you know, so many calls from other teams as well about guys like, you know, Francis Pena and Henry Baez and Isaiah Lowe. I think if, you know, you go on Giannis on Twitter, he identifies them every night, I feel like. And you know, we feel like we got guys that, you know, that internally we feel really good about. And that's just to name a few. And, you know, I think from our standpoint, again, like, it's fun to watch the development of a lot of these guys, you know, in our system. You know, and ultimately when we sat there and talked, it wasn't like we were looking at the stat like, hey, we only have these two prospects to deal from, or, you know, and the other teams have to like your players. And I think for us, you know, again, like, that was a huge part of our calculation internally, was, you know, having those conversations, talking about, hey, if we move so-and-so, you know, how do we rank or evaluate, you know, this player versus that player, knowing that the next, you know, you always need to add to your current group and your current team with guys coming up from the system. We've had some guys come up this year and make real contribution. And, you know, I feel really confident about what we have in the system right now, that we're going to have some guys show up here, you know, maybe in the next few months, but definitely into the next few years, that are going to really contribute from the pitching side especially.
Well, AJ, I really appreciate it. Hopefully you got some rest last night, and good luck to the team. Great way to start post-All-Star break with last night's win. That was a heck of a lot of fun, and it's good to talk to you again this morning.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
There he is, AJ Preller, President of Baseball Operations, General Manager for the San Diego Padres, and breaking the chat by mentioning you know, a Padres fan and observer that that we all follow in Too Much Mortons. Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's watching. Yeah, he's aware of what's going on out there. There's no doubt about that. And some of the names like Isaiah Lowe that he brought up that he thought were pushing, honestly, some of the guys that he traded. And keep in mind, and you know, people like Keith Law in the industry who evaluated the trade made this point yesterday. The Padres traded a lot of guys who stocks were falling this year.
Mm-hmm.
Not the guys on the rise. But, you know, Lesko, who struggled this year, Snelling has struggled this year. Yeah, they were the names to watch at the start of the year with high expectations and ranked in Baseball America's top 100. They weren't having good seasons, though. And maybe the new organizations fixed them. Maybe it was temporary and they got a good deal here. Or maybe they weren't going to work out. And they've got other guys that they feel better about because the trajectory is a positive one as opposed to a negative one right now with some of the guys that they did trade yesterday.
Yeah, you think of those teams that were sellers and they're not going anywhere this year. They may not even be going anywhere next year. Those are the teams that are like, yeah, I see something there. Like, we might be able to break through with this pitcher or this player or whatever and maybe get something out of them. But the Padres, while you're always building the future, we are in so much more of a win now mode that you have to make those moves.
If you want to comment on anything you heard AJ say, we can open the phone lines back up, 833-288-0973. However, at the bottom of the hour, I know people are asking, where's AJ on a Big League Wednesday? It's Adam Jones's birthday, so we're giving him the day off. He's going to join us tomorrow.
Yes.
But we do have Brett Boone coming up at the bottom of the hour, so it's still a partially Big League Wednesday. I mean, Skip Schumacher, AJ Preller, and Brett Boone is a pretty big Big League Wednesday lineup. So more calls, more talk about last night's game, and Booney at the bottom of the hour, still ahead after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, good insight from AJ Preller. If you missed it, the Odyssey app is just right there for you to go back and rewind it to 8 o'clock, or you can catch it later on our YouTube or podcast versions of the Ben and Woods program. Welcome back. We got Brett Boone joining us at the bottom of the hour in just about 10 minutes. So it was pretty clear. Obviously, AJ Preller is gambling a little bit with the starting rotation, and we're going to see some combination of, in the fourth and fifth starters the rest of the year, Randy Vasquez, obviously, Martin Perez, Johnny Brito, Brian Hoeing might get some kind of opener-type starts. I mean, you're going to have to, with what, 53 games remaining, even if you skip guys, and you don't want to skip too many off days because you're trying to save innings on Michael King's arm and keep guys as fresh as possible if you do make it to October. So you feel like you're still going to need another, you know, 16 to 18 starts from your fourth and fifth starters, at least the rest of the way. That's a lot to gamble here when you don't have. Now, Joe Musgrove may get some of those if he comes back healthy. Yu Darvish may get some of those if he ever returns. But again, you can't guarantee that either of them are going to either come back healthy in the case of Musgrove or even effectively. I mean, Joe may come back. Is he going to be Joe? What's he going to have in the tank? What's he going to look like? Is he going to take five or six starts for him to really get locked in? That'd be great if he does when he get to the playoffs. But if you don't get to the playoffs, it doesn't matter how well Joe Musgrove is pitching at the end of September. You have to get there for that to matter. So there's a bit of a gamble here. And there, I understand, you know, they went down a couple of tracks. There's only limited things you can do with, you know, especially it sounded like he did not want to trade Ethan Salas and Leo Dallas DeVries. Because you could have had Crochet. You could have had Flaherty for sure. If you had dangled either of those guys based on what, you know, we've heard, you could have had either of them. But you would have needed to dangle at least one of those two guys. And they did not want to do that. So, bit of a gamble here going forward in the starting rotation.
Yeah, I mean, again, I liked the moves that were made yesterday. I think the Padres are better yesterday than they were before the trades. But there was that concern about the rotation, and that definitely is still there with me. Like, that didn't go away just because they got, you know, Martin Perez. Like, I'm still nervous, but I wonder if that just shows you that AJ is more confident than maybe we think about somebody like Joe Musgrove returning.
Yeah, to me, it's quintessential AJ, though. You look at what does he do in the draft? He tries to identify the most talented player possible. And what he saw at this trade deadline was the bullpen arms that he could get were just better. He had more electric guys in the bullpen than were available starting pitching wise. And the starters just didn't blow anyone's hair back that were available at the trade deadline. But the relievers, Adam, Scott, those guys are really, really good. And he goes, would I rather get two really good players? And I know, all right, they're going to the bullpen, and we'll take our chances with the starters, or should I just get, you know, spend a ton like the Astros did for Yusei Kikuchi and get a guy who's not even pitching well right now, and who knows, he may hurt you more. He may hurt them more than he helps them going down the stretch. Pretty sure that the bullpen guys, for however many, you know, innings they've got and what they've got, they're going to help the Padres going forward. There's no guarantee that a starting pitcher actually helps you. There's no guarantee Martin Perez is any help at all. We certainly saw Vince Velasquez and Jake Arrieta were negative help for the Padres in 2021. So why pick up one of those guys when you know these two guys as much as you can in baseball? They are really good relief pitchers and should be really good relief pitchers for you for at least the rest of this season. I mean, that's AJ, right?
Yeah.
He's not, doesn't he drafts that way? He acquires players that way. He's doesn't care what position
fearless.
They play. Oh, nine shortstops? Fine. They're the best nine players I can get. We'll move Jackson Merrill if we have to. We'll figure it out. I want the best baseball players on my team, and then we'll let the manager figure it out. Now, was Bob Melvin able to figure it out? Not really. Has Mike Schilt been able to figure it out?
A little bit better than
other managers have been able to figure it out for the madness that is AJ Preller. So we'll see. We will see going forward. Would I feel better if they had a solid, one more solid starter in the mix? Of course. Of course you'd feel a lot better about it. But I don't feel bad about this team, that's for sure. They're a pretty good baseball team.
Got me right when I was drinking some water.
Pretty good baseball team.
Fun. Right. They are fun.
All right. We'll get Brett Boone's thoughts on the Padres.
He was moves very excited yesterday.
At the trade deadline, last night's game. What else went on around Major League Baseball? Always get good conversations with Booney, our Odyssey podcast colleague. When we come back next year, it's Ben, it's Paul with Woods on Vacation on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Baseball coverage at 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Starting to think we need to get Brett Boone his own walk-up music at some point, you know?
Good idea.
So we'll ask him about that.
His walk-up song was.
He's standing by. I don't remember. I mean, obviously I was there when he was at the queue and playing for the Padres. I could not tell you what his walk-up song was.
I'm getting a little PTSD here. When he was on the 2001 Mariners, that team that just dominated, their theme song for the year that year, Booney remembers this, it was Who Let the Dogs Out.
Oh, God.
They played
really?
It like 10
the
times
Baja
a game,
man.
Every game. Remember that, Booney?
Well, I do.
You want me to check traffic, or do you want to, we'll wait for traffic. All right, what was your walk-up song then?
Actually, rest in peace. The lead singer of Crazy Town passed away recently, I heard. But yeah, my walk-up song, and I expect somebody to cue it up, and I would really like to be introduced with it. It was Butterfly by Crazy Town. Tremendous tune.
All right.
Yeah, we did that.
You'll know what I'm saying. If you cue it up, you'll know what I'm saying.
No, we played it a few weeks ago. He did pass away recently. And
Woods has always got thoughts on every great musician.
Like, Woodsy met him, the lead singer, and we talked about it. Is that it?
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Well,
all right, now
Brett
we got
Boone
it.
Has his walk-up song now. And by the way, we are joined right now by Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone. Insider. Go ahead, Booney. I'm not going to interrupt you if you want to say some more on the music.
No, I was laughing. I love that walk-up song. I love it.
It's yours now. Insider calls are presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Brett, also the host of the Brett Boone podcast, featuring the most notable names in MLB and around sports every week. Now, I understand you're also calling us from the islands, just like Woodsy did earlier this morning. Are you sharing a house with Woods right now?
Has he hit you up yet?
I am not. I've been out on my porch here for about 2 hours.
That's early. That's
The wife is sleeping. The wife is sleeping inside. I don't think I've woken up any of the neighbors, but no, just a little R&R.
Nice.
Before 5. I'll be honest with you. I'm not a vacation guy. You know, I'm a golf vacation guy.
Me too.
But I'm not a vacation guy. There's only so many hours I can log on the beach and at the pool and drinking my virgin pina coladas. There's just only so much I can do it. So without telling anybody, I'm kind of excited I'm coming home in a couple days.
You'll have plenty to talk.
I feel like I'm a little spoiled.
Plenty to talk about. And you still did the Boone podcast. You had Jim Bowden, the GM, on to break down everything that went on at the trade deadline. I know you talked about the Padres' moves, adding more bullpen pieces, including Tanner Scott yesterday. Your thoughts? We just talked to A.J. Preller as well on what he did at the deadline, Booney.
You know, I didn't know what to expect just because, I don't think from a team standpoint, I don't think the inventory is quite there. You know, the big name, you were thinking of a Scooble and a Crochet. Are they going to move? And when you look at the Padres with Musgrove and Darvish being out, you know, that's a clear thing is, oh, they need a starting pitcher to kind of bolster that rotation. But I think Preller went the other way. He went out and got the best bullpen arms available. We got a Jason Adam and a Tanner Scott, who's got a 1-1 down there in Miami, to add to a Suarez. You know, they moved De Los Santos, and they brought in these two power arms. And I think, you know, the more you look at it, with the Padres' offense kind of coming alive, these teams have been playing really good. You know, 8 out of their last 10, Bogarts is back. You're just crossing your fingers that Tatis comes back and is healthy and can help up. Machado hitting 2 home runs last night. What a game last night. Machado and Merrill hitting the 2 home runs in the ninth, and then Solano finishing it off. This team is vibing right now. They're playing well. They're in a wild card spot as we speak, chasing the Dodgers down. But I really like these additions. I think never more so than in current times, 2024, is a power bullpen been kind of the way people build their teams and seems to be like a real good formula going into the postseason. So instead of addressing that starting pitcher, and obviously the Scoobles and the Crochets were not going to be available. Nobody ended up landing them. They went the other route and just bolstered that bullpen. And I think they did really good for themselves. I think they were one of the winners in this, at this trade deadline. Padres are definitely in my top four of the winners at making their team better.
Yeah, it was an interesting deadline because it was busy. There were a lot of trades by volume, but I saw there was no, you know, Juan Soto traded. There's no future Hall of Famers, and there were no even top 100 prospects traded, at least according to like current rankings from most, you know, farm system rankings outlets. So it was more on the volume side of it. What were like some of the notables? Like the price tag for Yusei Kikuchi seemed high. The one for Jack Flaherty seemed a little low, surprisingly. But then we find out later that maybe he had some medical concerns that torpedoed a deal with the Yankees. What were some of your other takeaways from yesterday, Brett?
Well, I was really kind of surprised that the Rays, although at this stage of the game, I don't question the Tampa Bay Rays. They've had so much success with with overturning a roster, it seems like, on a yearly basis. You don't even know who's playing on their team year to year. And consistently, they find their way into the postseason. I was a little surprised they dealt away so many guys, only being 3.5 out of the wild card. That was a little bit of a surprise to me. The others weren't. You know, Chicago getting rid of everybody they could, the Miami Marlins moving as much inventory as they can. Dodgers came in late with a Flaherty. And we're going to see how big of a move that was. Flaherty a year ago getting moved at the deadline ended up being a bust. But I think from what I'm hearing from Tigers people is it's a different Jack Flaherty than it's been in the past. He's turned the corner and is going to be an entity for the Dodgers. The Dodgers, they're an interesting case because they're probably the deepest team in baseball, but they've had their share of injuries this year. You know, Mookie currently sits on the IL. Max Muncy's been out pretty much the entire season. You lose Yamamoto. Glasnow's been on and off the IL. He was back last night. You finally get a Kershaw back, but you lose a Buehler. So Flaherty, that's going to be a rush to that clubhouse that's going to help them out. Dodgers are going to be a good team. But it's going to be interesting to see how Jack Flaherty responds. Is it that finally has he made the turn in his big league career and going to be that guy that you don't want to face in the postseason? Time will tell. I liked what the Mariners did. You know, I liked as much as I liked what the Padres did, I liked what the Mariners did. There weren't those bona fide big offensive, like you said, Soto, a juggernaut, someone that's going to make a difference. The only guy I saw out there that might have been available, that ended up not being available, was a Vladimir Guerrero. And Jim Bowden told me on the Monday podcast, he said, "Bowie, they're not going to move Vladdy at any cost." And I kind of believed him, but it ended up being true. They didn't move him. And you look around the game on the teams that are winning in poised in position for the postseason, they had their players, and the teams that were selling didn't have that big star offensive. You can make a case for a Robert out of the Chicago White Sox, but I think a lot of teams didn't trust him. They trust the skill set. They know it's a star skill set, but he seems to have a tough time staying on the field. So when it was all said and done, there were no stars moved. But like you said, a lot of volume and a lot of good players changing addresses.
You know, I agree with you that most of the teams did make sense. One team that I didn't understand what they were doing is the San Francisco Giants, who traded away Jorge Soler, and then they traded away Alex Cobb, but then they didn't trade Blake Snell because they said we're still kind of in it, and then they lose, and now they're five games out in the wild card. Any thoughts on like where the Giants are and what they were possibly doing up there?
Well, you know, I can only compare because you think you try to get little certain points of the season where you say, okay, now we know what our team is. Well, and you know, I pay close attention to the Padres. I also pay close attention to the Seattle Mariners. 5 weeks ago, the Seattle Mariners were up 10 games in the division. Mm-hmm. Before last night, they were in second place. So it just shows me how quick the standings can change in a short term. I look at the San Francisco Giants, and they ended up moving Soler. But I look at that rotation now. So now Snell coming off a 15 punch out game. You got a Robbie Ray, who's a few years removed from a Cy Young. You've got a Blake Snell. You've got a Webb, a Hicks, and a Harrison. You look up and down the National League and the starting rotations. Very few rival that. Now, if all those guys pitch like they potentially can, that's as formidable as a starting rotation as I see. Yeah, they're five games out. They're not going to win the division in the National League West. But for me, with that rotation, you get hot, you can do a lot of damage. So, yeah, it's not the best place to be sitting right now, five games out of the wild card. But at the same time, you look at that rotation, and they get that. That's a rotation that potentially can rattle off, 15 of 20. So I wouldn't count them out. And I think that's why – I think their general manager was looking at that situation going, wow, you got Snell, Ray, and Webb, and you get them rolling. You can put together some pretty good winning streak. So I wouldn't count them out by any means.
Fair, but then they didn't get anybody to help them go on that run. Yeah, so it's kind of right. They played this. They just kind of sat on the fence a little bit.
No, but, you know, Ben, I look at it this way. I look at it like the Texas Rangers. They're as of yesterday. Now they're 4.5 out. They were 3.5 out of the division. They're if they get to the playoffs, it's not going to be via wild card. It's probably going to be the division, because I think that division in the AL West is as vulnerable as it's ever been. But you look at a Texas and a Chris Young who's been on the field for a long time, so he has that player that player mentality versus the general manager mentality. I think there's a mix there, but he's still got that player side to him. He's looking at a team and going, wait a minute, we won a World Series a year ago. The offense hasn't been anywhere close to what it was a year ago, but I still have the pieces. I still have the Seegers and the Simeons and the Garcias who are star quality offensive players. And now all of a sudden, you know, I have a DeGrom waiting in the wings. Is he going to come back and be the DeGrom? We know how Scherzer going to pitch. I know I've got Eovaldi. Bradford just came back, so he's thinking, I'm not gonna say we're not going to be in the postseason, but I'm not going to say we are going to be in the postseason either. So they really kind of didn't do much. They sent a Lorenzen because they had an overcapacity of starting pitching, so they did move Lorenzen, but they just kind of stood pat, and they weren't selling out, saying we're not going to be there, but they're not going for it either.
Talking to Brett Boone, Insider Calls are brought to you by Grainger. And speaking of going for the division, gotta ask, after the win last night, what a game at Petco Park. Down 5-0, walk off the Dodgers in the 10th. Padres are 5.5 games out. They just bolstered their bullpen. The Dodgers remain beset by some injuries. You know, they did, as you mentioned, added Jack Flaherty, added Tommy Edman, added a couple of other pieces at the All-Star, or at the deadline. Can the Padres, do you think, make a run actually at the Dodgers in the NL West over these last 2 months?
Without a doubt. I just told you with the Seattle Mariners and what yeah. and what the, how they gave up that lead. Anything is possible, of course. But I think in this day and age, and history is starting to prove it out, it's just getting a seat at the table, Ben. And I think. That should be everybody's strategy at this stage of the game. Being healthy, going into the postseason, and just having a seat at the table. And it doesn't matter whether you win the division. I think as a player, from a player standpoint, it's always rewarding to be able to sit there at the end of the season and have that, you know, and win that division and have that celebration. But if you're looking at it just strictly for all business, it's just having a seat at the table that is all that matters. Because I think it's as easy as it's ever get to the postseason. I just really think with so many rounds in the playoffs, it's probably the hardest time it's ever been to actually win the World Series with so many variables and it's all about getting hot at the right time. I think a year ago it proved it. You know, the Texas Rangers obviously were a really good team, one of the best offensive teams in the game a year ago. But if you look at that roster up and down, that starting rotation, that bullpen, to say that they were going to win the World Series, no chance. I would have loved to go back and see what the Vegas odds were. And then we don't even need to talk about Arizona. Going through Philly, being down two in the most chaotic atmosphere I've ever seen, and to end up coming back and winning three and moving on to the World Series after that series last year, I'll never say never about anything. So I think it's about getting a seat at the table. Of course, you want to push the Dodgers. You want to push the envelope, especially when you go head-to-head and make it exciting. But I think from a business perspective, it's all about getting a seat at the table. But I know what those players are thinking of that clubhouse. They're hot. They just got a big adrenaline rush by getting those bullpen arms. They're feeling good about themselves. So by all means, as a player right now, I'm not thinking wild card. I'm thinking let's go catch those Dodgers and beat their butt.
Great stuff, Boney. I'll let you get back to doing ridiculously early morning radio interviews on the vacation that you don't really want to be on anymore anyway.
I don't want to sound too spoiled. I like it.
No, don't worry. No one's listening. It's fine. Don't worry.
That's right.
Boney, we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
There he was, Odyssey MLB Insider Brett Boone. Insider Calls, again, presented by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. All right, he says the division's in play. It's a little different, like the Astros chasing down the Mariners versus the Padres trying to chase down the Dodgers in terms of, you know, like payroll and resources. Dodgers sure have more than the Mariners do. You kind of expect the Mariners to collapse against the Astros' charge.
It'd be the Mariners chasing the Astros.
Yeah, it's a little different story, but he's got confidence that the Padres have a shot at it. We'll talk a little bit more about that right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, well, let's just look at it from a clinical standpoint here. Padres, after the win last night, Paulie, are 5.5 games behind the Dodgers.
Okay, 5.5.
If they win even one of their remaining four games against the Dodgers, they take the season series and would have the tiebreaker. Obviously, if you want to catch them, you got to probably win three of those four. That would get you two games closer. And then you've got the rest of the games that you're playing the rest of the season. Another 48 to 50 games for both teams that you'd have to outplay the Dodgers by a couple of games.
Two and a half games
the rest of the way. Is that possible? Well, looking at the remaining schedules, I can tell you the Dodgers have a tougher schedule than the Padres. Dodgers still have to play three against the Phillies, four at the Brewers. They've got three against the Orioles. They've got three against the Guardians. Padres did well against those two teams. Can the Dodgers match? They got four at the Atlanta Braves. They do have some easier series. They got the Rockies. They got the Marlins, and they got the A's still to come. But for the most part, their schedule is a little bit tougher. The Padres have still their games against the White Sox. Still have three more against the Marlins, who are absolutely decimated. They have to take care of business against the Rockies in the remaining two series the way they didn't do. All of this, of course, is predicated on the Padres doing what they couldn't do in the first half. Taking care of business against teams like the Angels and the Rockies.
Beating the teams you're supposed to.
You're not going to catch the Dodgers by going 500 against the White Sox and the Marlins.
Right.
You need to win maybe all of those or five out of six of those to have a chance. But honestly, the math is there that the Padres could do this. And by the way, they've won 11 of their last 12 against teams with losing records.
Four-game series against the Mets is going to be huge later in August.
Sure, that's for the wild card, that's huge. The games against the Pirates, huge for the wild card. But to catch the division, you got to beat up on those bad teams when you've got the opportunity, because the Dodgers do have a tough schedule. We'll come back. We got all the calls of the walk-off by Donovan Solano and the Incorporators still to come here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.